Okay, so an acronym called RAIN, which can be really helpful for practice. And to start us off, I want to sing with you. I'm actually going to share screen a short song. Words by Thich Nhat Hanh, music by Nina Wise, called Breath. And we'll just sing it through a few times. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. In breath, out breath, deep breath, slow breath, calm breath, ease breath, smile breath, release breath, present moment, wonderful moment. Right. So, RAIN, and how does that relate to present moment, wonderful moment? The acronym RAIN stands for recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture. And this form of the acronym was created by teacher Tara Brach, who's the guiding teacher and founder of the Insight Meditation Community in Washington, D.C. But the acronym was originally created in Barre, Massachusetts at the Insight Meditation Society by Michelle McDonald, another wonderful teacher. And when she created it, she created it as a tool for her students. The N stood for non-identify. So it was recognize, allow, investigate, and non-identify as a way for people to approach mindfulness practice. First, recognizing what's happening in the present moment, then allowing it to be present, not resisting, and then investigating it, really bringing our focused attention to what's happening in the present moment. And then, as Michelle taught it, non-identify, to realize that whatever is happening in the present moment, this is not me. This is phenomenon that consciousness is perceiving. So whether it's sensations that we're feeling from the body or sound or even emotions and thoughts, more and more seeing, no, this is not me. This is energy patterns coming and going, and not identifying and loosening more and more our sense of self, even with strong beliefs and strong emotions, we can get to a place where we don't identify as strongly with them. This is a really beautiful and important part of practice. But what, as Tara was working with the acronym, what she noticed is that for many of us, many practitioners, as we work with mindfulness, we're missing a kind of kindness that is really necessary when we have, particularly when we've internalized cultural messages around self-criticism and self-blame. And her observation sits well with the Buddhist philosophy, because the Buddha taught that the two wings of awakening are wisdom and compassion. Wisdom being born not only through learning, but also through the direct experience that mindfulness provides, where we're penetrating the present moment and the truth of reality with our own observation and experience. So that's really essential, that clarity. But it's not enough. We in order to really get to freedom, meaning the lessening and ultimately ending of suffering, compassion's critical. We have to have care and kindness towards ourselves, towards others, towards life. We have to navigate with care and compassion. Care and compassion are part of what makes it, care and compassion, the Buddha taught that these things are wholesome, and they're part of what makes life bearable. We can't live without it. So Tara, in her own practice, noticing her own tendency or her own conditioning around harshness, and then also observing her students, she realized that maybe even before working with non-identify, which is also really essential, that we need to bring in the nurture or the compassion. So that's, she changed the letter there. So I'm going to now just rewind and bring us back to this, the R of the acronym, recognize. Oh, and I also want to mention that my talk tonight is, having kind of told you about the background of RAIN and the acronym, it's really based entirely on Tara's book, work. And in particular, she's one book that she released recently titled Radical Compassion. Quite a wonderful book, not a long book, easy to read, highly recommended. And my talk tonight, that's my primary source material. So Martha Postlewaite, a wonderful teacher poet, says, "Do not try to save the whole world or do anything grandiose. Instead, create a clearing in the dense forest of your life." So you might have heard of the notion of trance, that when we're really locked into our thoughts and beliefs, or some there can be a trifecta of thoughts or beliefs, emotions, and then bodily sensations. And when we're locked into those, especially when we're in a reactive or negative place, it can seem like that's what's true and what's real. And what the R of RAIN is inviting us to do is recognize what's happening in a given moment. And that's the teaching of mindfulness, the returning to the present moment. The word sati, which is the Pali word for mindfulness, the literal translation is to remember, but not to remember as in to remember the past, to remember as in to remember to be present, to come into this moment. So you can do that now. Just feel your body right now. Notice the colors, feel your breath. Returning to the present moment. So the recognize is recognizing. And in the way that Tara teaches it, it's not only recognizing the whole of the present moment, but specifically noticing what's going on for me inside right now. What's happening for me right now in my internal experience? So that could be pleasant, could be in a moment of joy or savoring, could be neutral, just taking it in. It could be challenging. It could be in a state of some difficulty, difficult thoughts, difficult interactions, difficult emotions, difficult physical sensations. But just naming what's happening for us in the here and now. The idea of the dense forest that we want to create a clearing around is that it's like a trance. It's a believing of whatever's happening in thoughts and emotions and body sensations and taking them to be true. The recognize allows us to come in and see what's actually happening. And we create this clearing by pausing, turning from thoughts to present moment experience. Tara says, when we're reconnected fully to presence, we can open to what's going on inside us. The changing flow of sensations, feelings, thoughts, without any resistance. This allows us to live our life moments with clarity and compassion. The shift from being lost in unconscious mental and emotional reactivity to inhabiting our full presence in an awakening from trance. Rain creates a clearing in the dense forest, and in this clearing, you can recover your full heart and spirit. So the R of rain is what she calls a U-turn into presence. And every time we practice mindfulness, whether it's you on your own, either in your daily practice or in moments of mindfulness through the day, or coming together in Sangha to sit together for a half an hour like we just did, or going on retreat, whenever you're practicing mindfulness, you're practicing this, having the strength and the continuity to be able to make that U-turn back into presence, particularly when we've been caught, when we've been lost. So we can think about what is the dense forest like, first of all. What is it like when we are really believing our thoughts, really lost in our thoughts, really believing our thoughts and the attendant emotions and bodily sensations? What is it like when we're in a trance? And there are different experiences for different people. I'll read a few. While I'm finding the page, I'm going to just share my own. One of my big ones is this feeling like there's always too much to do. And actually, I've learned that that's a flag for me. And when I it returns, and it's like there's too much to do. There's not enough time. There's too much to do. That has become like a mindfulness bell. To take a moment and notice what's happening right now. Feel my feet on the earth. Take a breath. And there are many, so here's a few. So I realize I've just gone through a whole bag of trail mix. Everybody's the bad guy today. My kids, my boss, my partner. I'm finding fault with the world. I catch myself sizing up other men to see who's the most dominant. Even the small stuff feels like just too much. I'm listening to someone and planning how to get outside for a cigarette. I lose an hour following links online. My neck starts hurting and I realize my shoulders are up and knotted and that I've been anxious for hours. I notice the inner voice saying, can't you do anything right? I'm walking through a store and suddenly realize I'm comparing my body with every other woman's I see. I'm rushing around trying to get things done, and I hurt myself or break something or make a stupid mistake. So these are all signs that we've been caught, and you can just think for a moment about what your own might be. And they can be as varied as we are. But we all have our ways, our conditioning, the ways that we get caught. The reason that we all have these ways is because there's this, through the center line of the brain, a little bit on each side of each hemisphere of the brain, is a place called the default mode network. And it takes charge when we're not present. And it is habituated and automatic. And it isn't particularly a cheery place. It focuses on the past, on the future, and on creating a sense of self. And it also focuses on problems. So we all have our different ways of doing that, but it's hardwired into our brain. The good news is that at any point when we remember to make this U-turn back to presence, we can bring the prefrontal cortex online, and then a different part of the brain is in charge, a part that's much more attuned to clarity and care than the default mode network. So let's do a very short practice right now with this R of Rain. And you'll see it's essentially a mindfulness practice, but it's really understanding that we're moving out of the thinking mind and into perceiving what's happening right now. So in general, we can practice this anytime we realize we've been lost in thought. Could be obsessive worrying or planning, judging or fantasizing. And just begin by pausing, sitting comfortably and allowing your eyes to close. Take a few deep breaths. And with each exhale, let go of any obvious tension in your mind and body. Now shift your attention fully away from any remaining stories or thoughts, and notice your actual present moment experience. What sensations are you aware of in your body? Are there any strong emotions present? Do you feel anxious or restless as you try to step out of your mental stories? Can you simply stay right here for just these few moments and be with whatever is unfolding inside you? What happens if you intentionally regard your experience with kindness? So you can see how a practice like that, wouldn't be available all the time, because we get busy and life gets full. But as if we can remember to do it, it could be something that could be useful in daily life. Just that, taking a few moments and returning, recognizing. So then we move to the A of RAIN, which is allow. And there's this wonderful story from Buddhism. Well, first of all, the first part of it is the story of the Buddha's awakening. So he was sitting under the Bodhi tree and just really determined to have some kind of insight or awakening or understanding about the causes of suffering. And he just said, I won't leave here. I'll just die here. I wish to know. I wish to understand. And then he went through a difficult night. And the teaching is that the energies of greed and hatred and delusion, which are personified in this entity called Mara, that the energies of greed, hatred, and delusion just deluged him. And finally, he just said, you know, I wish to understand, I wish to be free. And he put his hand on the earth in order to get clarity. And then with the earth as a witness, clarity came. He realized that many things, including that coming into the present moment and non-identifying from thought was a really essential practice for freedom. But that wasn't the end of Mara. Mara shows up again in the suttas. And Thich Nhat Hanh took some of the ideas of Mara showing up again after that dreadful night and turned them into a story about inviting Mara for tea. And the way that Thich Nhat Hanh tells it is that from time to time over the next 45 years while the Buddha was teaching, Mara would suddenly show up and his attendant Ananda would say, "Oh no, Mara's here." And the Buddha would say, "It's okay. We can actually invite Mara for tea." And, you know, with a lot of generosity and kindness, just allowing Mara to be there along with everybody else until Mara was done and then leaving. And the point of that story is that it's possible for us to take phenomena, including difficult phenomena, and treat it with care and compassion. And that actually that's a really skillful thing to do. When we take the difficult things and when this is a natural animal response and we are animals, when we take the difficult things and meet them with resistance, typically that actually aggravates us and aggravates the situation, makes things harder, makes things more protracted. When we fight or we go to the limbic brain, the fight, the flight, the freeze, that stuff, it served our ancestors, but it in present day, it doesn't serve us very often, particularly when what we're fighting is emotional states and even physical states. So the teaching is inviting Mara to tea, the A of RAIN, allowing. So I see you, Mara, is what the Buddha said the first time he saw Mara, naming. We can name what we see, and then inviting Mara to tea. Let's have tea. The question that we have at this point as we're investigating the present moment and moving to allow is, can I let this be? Can this be here with me? Can I let go of the fight and be present with it? Sometimes the answer might be no. And if that's the case, then we need to take good care of ourselves and get the support we need. Or maybe it means, you know, taking the dog for a walk or having a cup of tea. But very often, even the difficult states in the lived moment are more tolerable than our resistance would at first make us think. Yes, I can let this be. Inviting Mara for tea, this sense of allow. So we'll try a little practice with allow now. So again, taking a moment here to sit quietly. And if you like, you can collect your attention by focusing your awareness on the movements of your breathing, wherever that's most comfortable for you. And now bring to mind something in your life that you're not liking. Could be, a difficulty at work or a health challenge or a relational challenge. Financial challenge. There are many different ways that life can give us stuff we don't like. So see what comes up for you. And don't choose something that might be traumatizing though, because this is meant to be a simple practice right now. And review the situation as if you were watching a movie until you get to the part that most activates strong emotions. Freeze the frame and deepen your attention to whatever's going on that most disturbs you. And ask yourself, what's happening inside me? That's the recognize. What's happening inside me? And notice whatever feelings are most painful or intense. Now, become aware of your attitude towards those feelings. All the ways you might be saying no to your experience. Are you thinking something's wrong? This shouldn't be happening. Wishing it would go away. Blaming yourself or blaming someone else. Trying to change it or push it away. And notice if you often feel this way, if it seems to be familiar. Okay, now take a few full breaths. Then remind yourself again of the difficult part of the situation. And recall the feelings that are most painful. But this time, ask yourself, can I be with this? Or alternately, can I let this be? Sense that you have the space of awareness to include everything you've discovered. You can fully allow it to be as it is. You can even say yes to the parts of you that are saying no and resisting what's happening. Experiment by directing the word and energy of yes to whatever you're feeling most intensely. What does it feel like in your body when you say yes? All right, so we've done the recognize and the allow, the saying yes to whatever we're recognizing rather than maybe some, you know, habituated resistance. And then we move on. And before we move on to the next two letters, I want to share the story that Tara tells a lot. And this is a true story. So in 1957 in Thailand, some monks needed to move a clay Buddha. They were moving their whole monastery, including a large clay Buddha that had been part of their order for centuries. And in the moving of the Buddha, the clay cracked, to their horror. But they got it to the new location. And then it was discovered, it was seen by one of the monks through the crack. There was some kind of a gleam, some kind of a shine. So they inspected it and then realized that there was something going on. So they courageously peeled back the clay and found that under several layers of clay, there was a solid gold Buddha, which still exists in this monastery in Thailand. But it had been a revered clay Buddha for centuries before the gold was found. And what historians think happened is that when it was first covered by clay by the monks of that time, several hundred years earlier, when marauders were coming, and the marauders killed all the monks, but left the clay Buddha. So there was no story about the gold underneath. It wasn't preserved by anybody. So it wasn't known that there was gold there until that happened in 1957, that the clay cracked. And the metaphor here for us is that as we, with mindfulness and compassion, these two wings of freedom, as we approach the clay, our defensive coverings, our reactivity, our habits, our trance mind, our dense forest, as we approach that with mindfulness and care, we slowly take away the clay of our suffering, until what's left is this beautiful original self. In Buddhism, it's called Buddha nature. And it's the teaching or the direct experience, if you've been here, and we all have at moments in our lives, multiple moments in our lives, that who we are at our core is deeply good. That we are all capable of generosity and patience and tenderness and love in all its forms. And then what stops us isn't any inherent evil. What stops us is our conditioning, essentially, what we've assumed, kind of how we've defended, and then how that then becomes habituated, and then we respond to the world that way. So with so far where we are with recognize and allow is we're seeing what's happening, we're letting it be there. And in the letting it be, we're already treating ourselves and our experience in a new way, not with judgment, but with curiosity and warmth. And that new way allows the clay to start peeling back. So that brings us to the I of rain. So we're already at a place in this process where we're mindful, and we know what's going on and we've named it, we're letting it be there, and then we go more deeply. So if the question for recognize is, what's going on inside me right now? The question for investigate would be, what's really going on inside me right now? What's actually happening? So you can name in the body, you know, oh, there's some tightness in the shoulders, or, oh, there's some contraction in the belly or the heart area. Oh, and there, you can even name temperature. Oh, it might feel freezing cold or very hot, or you could see if you can notice a sense of color. Then you can also go in there and you can and you can see what emotion is going on right now and name it precisely. These are teachings, the mindfulness teachings around mindfulness of body that come from 2600 years ago, but it's so neat how it's corroborated present day by neuroscience. MRI practices have shown that when people precisely name emotions, including the most challenging emotions, when we precisely name them so that the head and the heart are in alignment about what's going on, the amygdala relaxes, the part of the brain that's telling the nervous system to release adrenaline and cortisol, relaxes and calms down just from the naming. And this is part of what the Buddha discovered and taught. So with investigate, and now as you can imagine, when we get to these last two letters of the acronym, we need a little bit more time to work. Recognize and allow, we can do in daily life. Once we learn and are familiar with it, we can do it in daily life, and it can help us so much. When we have more time, we can really investigate what's really going on. And as we bring presence to what's happening in the body, our somatic experience of our internal world, so we're dropping, we know the story's there, but we're letting go of thought and then bringing our curiosity down into our body. When we're able to do that, there can be an unfolding that happens. Things change. They keep changing. And we can have insights. Or if not insight, then some simple relief. And then the N shows up at the end of the word, nurture, but in some way it's been there all along. In some way, this whole practice is a self-care practice. But specifically, nurture shows up at the end here to invite us to ask this essential self-compassion question, what do I need right now? What do I need right now? So instead of a habitual self-abandoning, we're teaching ourselves self-compassion here. And sometimes it can be something simple like a hand on the heart or some kind words, this too shall pass, or I care about you. Or it could be an action or activity, you know, like, wow, I really need to sign that petition, or go to the grocery store, take a shower. We really need to reteach ourselves this capacity for care. Many of us are oriented towards service, and that's beautiful, and we know how to care for others. But we haven't been taught necessarily how to stop and breathe and make sure we're okay. So that's investigate and nurture. And then Tara teaches one more thing, which is what she calls after the rain. And that's where, rather than doing a practice, recognize, allow, investigate, nurture, we spend some moment just being. These practices of mindfulness and compassion can bring us into a heart space of ease. And that's where we glimpse the gold. We get a sense of what it can be like when we have released some of our protective armoring, some of our habitual trance-like states, and we're just in open-heartedness. Some moments to just be. So what I have planned to do now is to lead us through one more practice. I think we will do this. Lead us through one more practice, and this is the entire RAIN practice, so that you have it under your belt if you haven't done it before. And if this particular tool or way into practice speaks to you or supports you, Tara Brach has recorded lots of these. They're online all over the place. So if you want, you know, you could like Google RAIN for anxiety, and then you could find one that's 8 minutes or 12 minutes or 20 minutes. So this is out there for your support if it speaks to you. But just to try, if you're still curious about whether this speaks to you or not, or you just want to try, let's do this together, the whole RAIN practice. Okay, so sitting quietly, closing your eyes, taking some breaths. And again, bringing to mind something difficult or challenging. Remember, you're not alone with this. We all have them. Something difficult or challenging in your life. Could be a conflict with a family member, illness, failure at work, the pain of an addiction, a conversation you now regret. Take some moments to enter the experience, visualizing the scene or situation, remembering the words spoken, and sensing the most distressing moments. Contacting the charged essence of the story is the starting place for exploring the healing presence of RAIN. So R, recognize what's happening. As you reflect on this situation, ask yourself, what's happening inside me right now? What sensations are you most aware of? What emotions? Is your mind filled with churning thoughts? Take a moment to become aware of whatever is predominant or the overall emotional tone of the situation. In the A, allow life to be just as it is. Send a message to your heart to let be this entire experience. Find in yourself the willingness to pause and accept that in these moments, what is, is. You can experiment with mentally whispering words like, yes, I consent, or let be. You might find yourself saying yes to a huge inner no, to a body and mind painfully contracted in resistance. You might be saying yes to the part of you that is saying, I hate this. That's in for the process. At this point in RAIN, you're simply noticing what's true and intending not to judge, push away, or control anything you find. I investigate with a gentle, curious attention. Bring an interested and kind attention to your experience. Some of the following questions may be helpful. Feel free to let them run through, or, you know, spend some time with one or two of them if they speak to you. What is the worst part of this? What most wants my attention? What is the most difficult or painful thing I'm believing? What emotions does this bring up? Could be fear, anger, or grief. Where are my feelings about this strongest in my body? It can be helpful to scan the throat, chest, and belly. What are the feelings like in the felt sense, such as clenched or raw or hot? Are these feelings familiar? Something I've experienced earlier in my life? How does this part want me to be with it? What does this part most need from me or from some larger source of love and wisdom? And N, nurture with loving presence. As you sense what's needed, what is your natural response? Calm. calling on the most wise and compassionate part of your being. You might offer yourself a loving message or send a tender embrace inward. You might gently place your hand on your heart. You might visualize a young part of you surrounded in soft, luminous light. You might imagine someone you trust, a friend, a pet, a teacher, a spiritual figure, holding you with love. Feel free to experiment with ways of befriending your inner life, whether through words or touch, images or energy. Now we move into after the rain. Relaxing and letting go into whatever's present for you right now. All right, that is the practice of rain. Thank you, everybody, for going on this journey with me. I think we'll close with the dedication of merit, the sung dedication of merit, and I'll share the screen with you so you can see the words. Many of you know that this song was translated from the Mandarin by the abbot of the Berkeley Buddhist Monastery, Reverend Hung Shur, and he found the music that just perfectly matched with the translation from a Lorena McKenna tune. I have to make it bigger. Okay. So this is the Pure Land version of the dedication to merit. Essentially, when we come together in circles like this, we create a field of good energy and ideas that we offer it out for the benefit of all. This is another way of saying that, sharing that same idea. May every living being, our minds as one and radiant with light, share the fruits of peace with hearts of goodness, luminous and bright. If people hear and see how hands and hearts can find in giving unity, may our minds awake to great compassion, wisdom, and to joy. May kindness find reward. May all who sorrow leave our grief and pain. May this boundless light meet the darkness of our sacred night. Because our hearts are one,
This world of pain turns into paradise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become compassionate and wise.
All right, everybody, wishing you a wonderful evening and week.
That was so beautiful, the song and the whole practice. I don't think anyone has ever taught rain quite that beautifully. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, thank you.
It's true. It's true. Very beautifully taught. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Eve.
Thank you, Eve.
Thank you, Eve.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
The song is always beautiful.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank Bye, you. Everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.